taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And to do that, we look at what's going on in the world around us, and we start comparing it to the Constitution, to the concept of rights, to our unalienable rights, to our liberties, and we look at this idea from a constitutional standpoint. What does the Constitution say? And then how do we defend ourselves when those rights are violated? And I want to talk today, I want to focus on people that are defending their rights. Now, I may not always agree with how they go about defending their rights, but the idea is we do need to look at people at defending our rights, because I contend it is actually more important that we help protect the rights of others than we protect our own rights. Now, I know that may seem counterintuitive, but follow with me for a moment. See, if I protect my rights, well, I'm standing alone. It's just me. But if I'm protecting the rights of someone else, well, then it's at least me and that other person. And if, again, we are, you know, most of us are looking at to defend other people's rights, well, then we're working together. And as Ben Franklin said at the, you know, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, we must all hang together, or assuredly, we will all hang separately. And the point he was making is, if we don't work together, if we don't hang together, if we don't act together, then they would pay with their lives one by one. That's what they had as a choice. The stakes were quite severe and they were quite obvious. Today, the stakes seem, well, less obvious, and very often they don't seem quite so severe until we start looking at history, our history, world history, and realize that if we don't stand for our rights, then the future is very dystopian. You look at books like 1984 or Brave New World, and what you see is a world where rights don't matter. Rights are subjected to something else, someone else's need. And sadly, that's the direction that much of this country seems to be going. But there are people who stand up, and I want to note them. I want to applaud them. I want you to be aware of them, and I want you to start looking for them to see how you can help stand with them to protect their rights. Now, first, I'm going to take a look at an article I saw. I believe this is coming out of Cherokee County, Georgia. And the school board members terminate the public meeting. Well, the headline says, because of the audience members clapping. See, more than 250 residents showed up at a school board meeting. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear about 250 people showing up at a school board meeting, those are people that are involved. Those are people that are engaged. Now, apparently they were there primarily to protest potential COVID-19 mask mandates. And I guess the majority of the parents were rather irked by board members and their desire to impose these mandates, these illegal mandates, by the way. And witnesses stated that, well, the board members basically just closed the meeting and departed. And the rationale the board members used was, well, during the public comment period, the public was clapping too much. Now, this should tell you a couple things. One is, if you have a good, just cause, and you can get people engaged, you intimidate elected officials. I believe it was Thomas Jefferson that said, when people fear the government, there is tyranny. When government fears the people, there is liberty. It's good that the government fear the people. But it's not good that a government simply stop a board meeting because the people they work for are enthusiastic about what's being talked about. I believe it is their duty to listen to their employers, not to act like kings and queens and simply, well, if we can't get our word in, we're going to shut things down. That's not cool. But notice, you had 250 people willing to show up at a school board meeting. These parents, I'm assuming most were parents, well, they hung together. And while, again, I'm disappointed that the school board decided to shut down the meeting, as with other reports of school boards shutting down either public comments or other meetings because they don't like what's being said, well, you know what? That's too bad. You're an employee. It's about time they start listening to their employers. And if we have to make it a little difficult for them to do that, if we have to shame them in doing, well, then let's do it. Let's remind them that they work for the parents, not the other way around. And that if they want to establish a mandate, they must have a legal basis for it that survives all the way through to the Constitution of the United States, meaning it has to comply with county law, state constitution, U.S. laws made pursuant to the Constitution, and the Constitution itself. And since mass mandates, public mass mandates, deprive people of their liberty and the control of their property without due process of law, they have not found that that people are potentially, there's probable cause they're dangerous before requiring a mandate. Well, I'm sorry, that's too bad. We need to return to the rule of law, and we need to return to the people enforcing that law, not simply sitting back and, well, praying some government official will do that for them. So this is to me, this is a good story, mainly because of how many parents have stood up in this county to apparently to protest these ridiculous mask mandates. Now, if there's one place in this country that has become the poster child, the example, the focal point of parents standing up against an out-of-control school board, it's Loudoun County, Virginia. The stories coming out of there have been amazing, from the number of parents showing up at school board meetings to the extraordinary actions taken by the school board to avoid hearing the parents, to discussions and debates about terminology. This has been going on for weeks now, and it's something that we still need to keep in touch with. We still need to be aware of. And if you're able to, you still need to support. Now, the issues at hand, there have been two sets of issues at hand. One issue has been the pushing of the tenets of critical race theory. It usually gets abbreviated as, hey, they're teaching critical race theory. When really what they're doing is they're teaching many of the tenets, they're not teaching a class called critical race theory. They're teaching many of the tenets, the idea that race is what matters, that white people are oppressors and black and people of color are oppressed. And, you know, the poor little kid that did absolutely nothing is oppressed because of his color. And the poor little kid that did absolutely nothing is the oppressor because of his color. That's not the only one. You've seen a lot of actions around gay rights and especially transgenderism within this school district. And the school board has been swamped. They've been drawing crowds of concerned parents, and they've also drawn quite a few activists as well. Now, again, this can be a double-edged sword, right? Because activists sometimes get a little too active. But whether you're a parent or just a concerned citizen, to be involved, to show up, even if, as some of these groups are doing along the sidewalks, and engaging in the process, not sitting back and letting somebody else do it for you. As one poster I saw said, Loudoun County's worst nightmare educated parents. We need to be educated parents. We need to be aware of what our children are being taught. We need to be in control of what our children are being taught. And when the school board starts worrying more about some program or some agenda coming out of Washington or our state house more than the parents they work for, well, then it's time for us to do something. So this is an excellent example of people standing up for their rights to protect the rights of themselves, of our children, and protect them from the craziness that's going on. I mean, it's one thing to have an adult conversation on concepts of like transgenderism or critical race theory. It's quite another to train a child in those things, either without the consent of the parent or in direct opposition to the desires of the parent. Now, in one of these meetings, I guess things got rather raucous, including two people being arrested. And I don't know the details of the arrest. That's probably a conversation for another day. But in response, the school board, I believe, pushed out or sent out an email claiming that the opponents of their agenda are pushing false stories. They go on to describe that, you know, they had a public comment period, and they said the purpose of the public comment is for the public to have the opportunity to speak directly to the school board on issues concerning them. Okay, I reserve judgment on that. But if demonstrations get loud and they violate the basic decorum, but the question is, this is the part I always interesting. We have the right to peaceably assemble. Now, I don't remember it being a question of decorum. It's a question of are they peaceable or not. See, the problem is apparently the policy they were working on for that meeting that they were discussing involved restroom accommodations and the use of pronouns for transgender students. Now, if you're a parent, especially a parent of a young girl, a young lady, and the school board is telling you, no, we have to allow boys in the restroom because they call themselves girls or they think they're girls or they have some sort of mental disorder where they think they're a girl, that's a public safety issue. That's not a minor thing. And if the school board is not going to listen, you see, the point they're saying is that it's for the chance to have to speak to the public, to speak to the school board. What about the school board listening to the public? If they're getting engaged, if they're getting loud, if they are not accepting what you're saying, if they're refusing and getting angry at your lack of vision for what they're talking about, that's more about the school board. But again, I wasn't there. I'm only talking about reports that I've read. But it's important that we support these. We have to be, you know, I because of other things I've read about that have happened at the board meetings of the Loudoun County School District, you know, it's, I'm not ready to take it at face value what the school board is saying actually happened. And I'm not ready to say that the parents who were arrested weren't simply arrested because they would not give up their right to peaceably assemble simply because the school board didn't like it. The school board is employees. They are hired to do a job by the very same parents that were not happy with the job that they're doing. So we need to be willing to engage, involve. And you know what? Some of us may end up with school boards getting shut down. Some of us may have to go to multiple meetings. Some of us may even be arrested. Now you have to make the decision for yourself. How far are you willing to push this? Because there will be consequences. I'm not trying to tell you there won't be. But the consequences of doing nothing are much more severe. For example, one Loudoun County mom has been targeted by certain activist groups for pushing against a racist program, a racist set of curriculum in the school. Now, again, she wraps them all up in the critical race theory, and she's been very vocal about this. She's attended just several rallies protesting this racist theory. You know, whether it's the actual critical racist theory or the racist tenets that are being taught to the children of the district. Now, they call it anti-racism, but just you could call a fish a dog. It doesn't make it so. These programs, what I've read of many of them, the stuff they're teaching is racist. That your future is dependent on the color of your skin. That you are good or evil based on this color of your skin. That regardless of what you have done, you have either benefited or been punished based on the color of your skin without any evidence. In other words, teaching children way down into elementary school that the color of the skin of their skin is the primary determination is by definition racist. And I lived through the 1960s when we had these societal upheavals because of racist policies. And here we are turning racist education, and we got a mom here that not only stands up, she stands up quite a bit to the point where now apparently a flyer has been put out and points to this one mother saying things like, you know, you should be ashamed to employ a known active racist. How is she an active racist? Because she doesn't want race to be the determining factor in the education of her child? She doesn't want her child to be taught that she should judge everybody based on their race. She should make assumptions, prejudice calls based on their race. But you see, we use language like knives now and weapons, and they're out to get her. So when you see this type of thing, don't take it at face value. It is actually the group that's claiming to be diverse that doesn't accept a diverse opinion, that is, they say is founded on diversity and professionalism and integrity, that is slandering. And I believe this is actual libel or slander. I don't know the legal definitions of those, but this is libel or slander, one's written, one's spoken, of a human being they disagree with because she has the temerity to challenge these active groups in school. Now, imagine you're this mom. You see this terrible, you see this racist content in the schools. You attend rallies. I'm assuming, go to school board meetings and promote that this be stopped. And now you find a flyer that claims you're a racist because you disagree with somebody who is judging you based on the color of your skin. Who's standing with her? Who's standing with this woman wondering, you know, why have I been attacked? Why have all this? Who's standing with her? I mean, she's standing, but is she standing alone? Because that's that truly is the question of where this goes. If this woman stands alone while being attacked, and I believe, I'm not sure, I don't have all the details, but from what I've seen, falsely attacked for daring to attempt to protect her child from being indoctrinated with racism. I don't care about the titles. I don't care. I mean, some of the stuff, you know, they talk about asking a child, you know, are they a white oppressor or are they a black oppressed, only to find out that the child is a child of mixed race. They have a white mother and a black father. I mean, this whole concept is so evil and wicked, and it not only is it being allowed in America, it's being promoted. But there's good news. Yes, it's a fight, and yes, it's a hard fight, but it's a fight that you can win. See, a school board in Colorado Springs, not exactly a bastion of conservative thought, they have banned critical race theory and similar instructions after they got a testimony from a black father who argued that U.S. racism would be, by and large, be dead if it weren't institutions like this keeping it on life support. He said, you know, I'm a direct descendant of the North American slave trade. Both my parents are black. All four of my grandparents are black. All eight of my great-great-grandparents, and all six of my great-greats. The father went on. He says, listen, he's a black man. He says, I am not oppressed. I am not oppressed, and I am not a victim. And he's right. Racism in America is being kept alive on life support by these programs and these ideas, these toxic swill that everything is based on race. Where people are literally trained that everything that happens to them must be because of their race. It couldn't possibly be because of their actions. It couldn't possibly be because of some other factor in their life. The only reason this happens to them is their race, which to me is disgusting. I've talked about in the recent episodes about my background and what I grew up with, and I've seen racism in action, and I've worked against racism in action. But as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, he wanted a land where his children were judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And these people are training our young generation to judge everybody based on the color of their skin. That is by definition racist. But if you stand, for truth, if you refuse to be a victim, and the sad part is because we have spent so many years making it an expectation that there are different rules for people of color, that everything's a factor of race, to the point now where people believe that if a black man gets ahead, it must be because of their race. Did they get a hand up? We actually destroy the ability of many young men and women of color to succeed because we've taught them to give up and expect government to go fight for you because we can't actually expect you to do the work for yourself. We the people are keeping racism on life support by allowing these toxic ideas to continue to exist and to thrive in society today. Oh, sure, there are groups out there doing it. We let it happen. We do not stand up when we see racism in all forms. When we see the toxic environment allowed to persist, to progress in our towns, in our neighborhoods, and we do nothing, we allow it to persist. And when we see it dying on the vine, we let someone come in and resurrect it, and we do nothing to stop them. We let it happen. So ask yourself, who is the racist? The person who wants everybody to get a fair chance, understanding they're not all going to get the same outcome. Or the person says, we must get, it must be because of the color of their skin. They did not get the outcome that everybody else wanted. It's irrational. But it's what passes for education in society today. And we're letting it happen, except for the few that are standing up. Now, if you're not one to stand up, what are you doing to help those who are? Because that's really what makes the difference. Now, before we head out to break, I want to remind you to head to healthycell.com/outloud. Healthy Cell's got a new way of dealing with vitamins, a nice travel-ready gel pack made with technology to help your cells absorb the nutrition they need to feed your body right down to the cellular level. And as an America Out Loud listener, you can get your first order at 20% off. Just go to healthycell.com/outloud. You'll get 20% off that order. Try a subscription. Try one of their products. Try the REM sleep. You know, it helps you. If you're like my wife, someone has a hard time falling asleep at night, it helps you get to that drift off point to sleep soundly, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. So again, head to healthycell.com/outloud for 20% off your first order.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our 5-year anniversary, America Out Loud is expanding its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We're back at the Constitution Study, and today we're looking at people who are standing up for liberty, people who are taking a stand, making a move, doing what they can, and the people that we need to support while they do it. Now, we ended the first half of the show talking about parents standing up at school board meetings and pushing back against, well, at least the doctrines of critical race theory and other indoctrination, but I want to continue with a story I saw. This one came from the Daily Caller about 3 lawsuits filed in Minnesota alone, or at least by Minnesotans, to deal with bullying, where, you know, people are being punished for not agreeing with or promoting this radical, this dangerous, this racist agenda. The first lawsuit came from the demotion of Atara Gustillo, a Filipino-American doctor. She was chair of obstetrics and gynecology at Henpen Healthcare. And apparently she lost the position, she claims, because of her polite opposition to critical race theory at the sanctuary that's saturating the organization. She sees the racist undertone. She sees the racist overtones of what is being promoted here, and she said she was polite. She disagreed with it. She was against it, and she's claiming that's the reason she was fired. You know, it's become interesting. The people who tend to talk the most about tolerance seem to be least tolerant to those who disagree with them. Now, again, I'm no fan of critical race theory, but now it seems more and more that if you don't toe a specific line, they come after you and you can be punished. And we need to be aware of this. You should not be surprised if you stand up for rights and liberty. There are those who are going to try and get you fired, canceled, shut down, deplatformed, demonetized, you name it. Now, I said there were three cases. The second case is from Joe Norgren. He was allegedly forced to retire early from the Minnesota Security Hospital because of hostility he had to deal with for his refusal to subscribe to critical race theory and to abandon his religious beliefs. This is why I keep saying, you know, society itself is broken. It's not simply governments that are broken, but society is no longer tolerant of the basic idea of rights and liberty. The idea that I don't have to agree with you and you don't have to agree with me. Now, the third lawsuit was filed by three Lake Vale taxpayers against the Lake Vale area school. The lawsuit accuses a school of creating a hostile education environment by posting BLM signs and disallowing All Lives Matter sign. Now, this is interesting because this is you're saying, okay, you're allowed free speech as long as it's only a certain type of speech. And this is in a school district. Yes, the people who wish to put up those signs have a right to speak, but what are we training our children? This more and more resembles some dystopian movie or book where, you know, you have pictures of Dear Leader on the wall. Is what's going to come up next? I mean, does anybody else remember the, to me, sickening songs and chants to Obama that were being taught to school children? And tell me, just what is so wrong with All Lives Matter? Yes, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Red Lives Matter, all lives matter. But that's not the case. And when you have organizations and school districts that demonstrate a hostility to people based on their race, but Paul, they say Black Lives Matter. Yeah, and they refuse to say that White Lives Matter too. See, now, these are dangerous situations, and these people who are using the court system to try to defend their rights, well, we need to stand with them. They need to not be standing alone. And if you don't live in Minnesota, well, let's take a look at something going on in Missouri. Two employees of the Missouri's largest school district have filed a complaint against their employer, alleging they were forced to affirm and promote an ideology with which they disagree. Now, the Springfield Public School employees, Brooke Henderson and Jennifer Lumley, now they claim their First Amendment protects public school employees from viewpoint discrimination. I want to disagree with them. It is not the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that protects these Missouri teachers' freedom of speech. You see, the First Amendment to the Constitution starts with the five words, "Congress shall make no law." This is not an act of Congress. However, Article 1, Section 8 of the Missouri Constitution, which states that no law shall be passed impairing the freedom of speech. That is where these ladies' freedom of speech is protected. But she says the school district forces teachers and staff to affirm viewpoints they do not support, disclose personal details they wish to keep private, and to self-censor on matters of public interest. Now, this is a very good point. So if you live in Missouri, are you supporting these employees of the school district? I don't know if they're teachers. We have to support them. They shouldn't be standing alone. Whether it's when they're meeting with the school board or when they're, if they have their day in court, there should be parents and other citizens by their side, supporting them. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to be everywhere at all times, but we need to get this idea that when we see a right being infringed, it is our job to go, and if not to stand up for change, at least to support the people who are standing up for change. See, that's the difference between being a citizen and a subject. A subject does what they're told. A citizen tells their government what to do. When we see these infringements, if we stand alone, that's what the opposition to liberty wants. They want people standing alone. People who are standing alone, well, they have no protection. They're easy targets. But when we stand together, when we support each other, then you stand a chance. Because look at what part of this school district's training material explains. They quote, "Only white people could be racist." That statement itself is racist. The very concept that only white people can be racist is racist. You're telling me that a black person can't judge others based on race? That they can't deny others services or treatment or treat people unequally because of their race? That is racist. That's the same racist nonsense that had people in the South in the 50s and 60s saying black people couldn't do this. They couldn't do certain jobs because they're unqualified. This is racist. And this is what's being trained in the Missouri public school. I'm not surprised they filed a complaint. I'm actually surprised only two have filed a complaint. You're telling me that it's the school position that only white people can be racists? Tell me, if you are a parent of a student in the Springfield Public School, what do you think they're being taught? What do you think they're being trained to? How do you think they're being trained to think? How are they being indoctrinated? Do you think maybe your children are being taught to be racists in a racist school? Maybe it's not the best place to have your kids, which gives you one of two choices. Either get the school fixed, I mean, fix it, go in there and work to fix this school, or pull those children out. We need to change our whole concept that it is not the government's right to train our children. And they're doing a pretty lousy job. It is our right to train our children. And if the government school won't do the job, well, then we need to take them somewhere else. And from my point of view, you shouldn't pay taxes for that. I'm sorry. I could not in good conscience pay taxes to a school district that taught such racist garbage. That's what you're training your staff to look at a situation and to see a black child and a white child and assume the white child is the only one that could possibly be racist. If you live in that school district, whether you have children there or not, how do you pay for this? This is your money being used to train these teachers and administrators. You are paying for that. How do you feel about that? Because I don't know about you, that would infuriate me. If I find out my local school district is teaching children to be racist, is training staff to be racist, I ain't paying for it. I don't care. I'll go down to the county clerk and I'll say, how much of this bill of the taxes go to the school? Show me, because I ain't paying that part of it. I'm not paying to teach people to be racist. I'm in front of the superintendent going, how dare you? How dare you teach and require people to act in such a racist manner? You talk about getting rid of racism. Well, you're teaching it right here. Do you believe this garbage? Do you believe this nonsense? Why is it being taught? And I don't even have a child in the school district. But I'm not going to pay to have children in my town, in my county, indoctrinated with racism and hate because some weenie out of some college thinks it's anti-racist. I'm sorry, they're idiots. I don't care what degrees they have. That only proves they're dumb enough to get to pay for an education that ain't worth diddly squat. Now, there is some good news. There are still others that are standing up. There are landlords in the Fifth Circuit of the United States have asked the circuit court to stay the eviction moratorium. I've actually, just yesterday, did an episode where I covered the disastrous mess that is the CDC eviction moratorium, the fiasco. And now we have landlords in Louisiana standing up. Who's standing with them? I mean, sure, if you're a landlord, this may be something you want to get into. But even if you're not, who's standing with them? Who's recognizing the violation of rights, the property rights of these landlords, and is willing to stand with them, is willing to help? I am. If you're a landlord in Louisiana, you're part of this, you want my advice, contact me. Go through the show page, go through the Constitution Study website, contact me. I'm not a lawyer, but I can read the Constitution and I can read a legal mess. By all means. Because everything that's been done so far has been a question of whether or not the CDC had the legal authority. I have not seen one court talk about the constitutional issues with any eviction moratorium, regardless of who and what branch of government issues it. We need to stand. We need to help. Well, this is me standing. I don't live in the Fifth Circuit. I believe I live in the Fifth Circuit. I don't know where the Fifth Circuit covers. I don't live in Louisiana. But if any of those want my opinion on their brief, want my 2 cents on the eviction moratorium, you can find it on the website. You want to talk to me personally, contact me. I will help. I was talking to a lady last night about a situation going on in North Dakota, and some parents involved were asking, you know, she said, what kind of advice can I give them? And as I heard the story and I got involved, well, here's my advice, but they want to talk to me, give them my contact info. This is the type of thing I want to get involved. How can I help you? Landlords in Louisiana, if you're part of the suit, how can I help you? Do you want a great breakdown of just how unconstitutional, how repugnant to the Constitution and an eviction moratorium is? How the moratorium itself is not only unconstitutional, it's void, and how those on the CDC attempting to enforce this are actually committing a federal crime? I got the goods. I can prove it. Just contact me. I'll do what I can. I'll help however I can. We need to stand with these people. Because if we leave them alone, then, you know, as Martin Niemöller said, you know, first they came for the socialist and I did nothing because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist and I did nothing because I was not a trade unionist. And they came for the Jews and I did nothing because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me and there was no one left to defend me. We're going to be in exactly the same position here in America until we start standing up for others who are having their rights infringed upon, and we start backing those who are standing up for their rights. Now, in all this mess, in all this nonsense, there's a glimmer. We do get glimmers of hope, and I want to leave you first with a glimmer of hope and then with a possible call to action. And I saw this article in the Epoch Times, and George Mason University has a vaccination mandate. Obviously, that's not the good news. No, the good news comes in the visage of Todd Zwicky. You may have heard of him. He wrote an op-ed about what's been going on in the Wall Street Journal. And he noted that not only that George Mason University has this COVID, but he claimed that he's already fully recovered from the disease, Therefore, vaccination is not necessary and potentially risky for him. Well, the school apparently wasn't willing to accept that medical exemption. Well, the school's relented. It has granted the medical exemption for the vaccine mandate that the professor has asked for. See, what he did is he stood up for his rights. Now, he didn't do it based on rights. He didn't do it saying, listen, you don't have a right to deprive me of control of my body as a condition of work at a public school. A school, by the way, he's actually a professor at the university's Antonin Scalia Law School, which I find quite ironic. But he pushed. He says, no, I've already had the disease. It's actually potentially dangerous for me to get the vaccine. And he stood his ground. And he did so publicly. And eventually, once he filed suit, the school backed down. Now, why do I bring this up? Because it's important to know that while we don't always win, we do win. Mr. Zawicki would not have this mandate, this exemption, I should say, if he hadn't stood up against the mandate. Now, I may, you know, why he did, the reasons he used, those are his own. But the fact is, he stood up. And when they said no, he kept pushing. And when they said no, he kept pushing again. Here's my proof. No. All right, well, I'll do an op-ed. No. All right, I'll file suit. Well, maybe we don't want to spend for the lawsuit. See, it's one of the reasons I keep bringing up little things like the Federalist Paper 78 and the Supreme Court noting that laws repugnant to the Constitution are void. The very idea of the Supremacy Clause, meaning only laws of the United States made pursuant to the Constitution, are supreme. It's why I'm still doing this Knowing Your Rights tour, where I show people their rights and I help explain the rights, some of the rights that are being violated under these COVID draconian measures. And I point out that it's a violation of federal law to actually do these things. How important it is to stand up. But you want to stand up, you want to have something to show for it. You want to, you know, you just want to stand up and say it's wrong. There's nothing there. You're looking at a law enforcement officer and saying, well, this is a violation of the Fifth Amendment. Yeah, right. No, if you can show them, if you can point it out and say, oh, by the way, officer, if you enforce this, you are breaking federal law. So my first call will be to a lawyer. My second call will be to the FBI. You need to know that. Yeah, right here. It says right here. If you deprive me of a right protected by the Constitution, that's a fine and up to 1 year in jail. Oh, by the way, officer, if you even threaten to go for that firearm, that's 10 years in jail. Do you want to still take that risk? See, tyrants, bullies keep being bullies because everyone's afraid to push back. But as soon as people stand up and start pushing back, the bully backs off. More often than not. Depends how thick the bully's skull is. It's when we stand up to bullies that they take a second guess. And I don't believe the vast majority of the people that are committing these crimes know that they're committing crimes and are really that vested in these mandates and these moratoria. I think most of it's done out of ignorance. Some of it are done out of a petty quest for power. But I believe most of the people doing the work are doing it out of ignorance. And we need to give them the chance to say, oops, maybe I don't want to do this right here. Whether it's Mr. Zawicki who stood up and pushed, and he had to push a few times, but he eventually got the exemption that he wanted. Or the owners of Attila's Gym in New Jersey that, you know, whether it was bringing in generators when they cut off the power, or bringing in water and porta-potties when they cut off the water, or even having to break into their own gym, simply refused to comply with a void order. They eventually won. And we can eventually win. You can push back on the bully, but it's easier and it's safer when there's more than one of you. So here's my call to action. As I said, back in the revolutionary times, we had Minutemen. Men ready at a moment's notice to rise to the defense of their village, their town, their city, their families, their neighbors, and their friends. They were prepared. We need a new generation of Minutemen and Minutewomen. Men and women prepared not to go into battle, but to stand for the rights of others. Men and women that see things like Mr. Zewicki or the landlords in Louisiana or the two ladies at the Missouri school district that hear about these things and are willing to rush to help. Not nationally, locally. If you live in that school district, you should be rushing to the help of those two ladies. If you go to George Mason University, you should have been supporting Mr. Zewicki. Now, you have to decide for yourself how hard you're going to support, how far you're going to push it. Are you going to just show up and say, hey, I support you, and here's some good information? Trust me, I've been in a situation where I've stood standing alone in front of a group of people, and one person stood behind me, didn't say a word, just stood there. That meant a lot. So whether you're just willing to stand, to say a kind word, or to support, help, possibly even fight for the person's rights, that's what we need. I want to resurrect this idea of a minute man and a minute woman into not a musket-wielding military person, but a constitution-wielding rights defender. Someone who sees the attack and runs towards it, not away from it. Who sees the intimidation, the bullying, the suppression of rights, runs to it and defends against it rather than running home and hiding and hoping they don't come after you. Now, if you're interested, this is nothing formal. I'm not asking for people to sign up for anything. I'm asking you to make a commitment in your heart to decide for yourself today that you're going to support those who are supporting liberty, that you will defend those who are standing against the bully, that you'll defend those who are being attacked by the bully. Would that bully be the federal government, the state government, a local school district, an out-of-control business owner, a local county board, whatever it is? If you want, contact me. If you want me to set up a place where we can meet, I can do that. But let's start with just the understanding, the agreement amongst ourselves that we will help those who need help, those who don't have the backing, who haven't done the study. Just as I offered the lady I was talking to last night, I said, have them contact me. I've got the research. I can help put together your plan. Just as I offered the landlords in Louisiana, I'm serious. If one of you are listening to this program, contact me. I think I can help you build a much stronger argument. I'm willing to help. Again, I've got years of studying the Constitution. I've turned out to be pretty good at putting together an argument that supports the Constitution. Now, in my hometown, local, I have more work I have to do, right? This is where I'm going to be more engaged with people from a personal standpoint, right? Where, you know, I've gone and I've talked to the sheriff and I've made sure we'll defend our citizens' rights. I've met the school superintendent. I've tried to get a serious meeting with her about teaching our students about the Constitution. I made those commitments. They're local to me, so I devote more time. I'm engaged with whatever local organizations I can to help spread the word. But there's only so much I can reach. If you're interested and you're willing to do it, you have to be willing to understand there will be a price paid depending on how involved and how hard you're willing to push. If you're interested, just contact me through the website, constitutionstudy.com. Let me know. Maybe if we start getting some people involved, I'll put a system together where we can find each other, work together. But I think we need the American people to commit not just to their own freedom and liberty, but to the freedom and liberty of others. And as we begin understanding and educating, see, to me, the education of places like the Constitution, like ConstitutionScholars.com, that's the bedrock, that's the foundation on which the Minutemen and Minutewomen can rise. Once we've exposed ourselves to the truth about the Constitution, once we understand it, once we learn to apply it, then and only then will we truly be prepared to go out and help others. So I hope the fact that people are standing up, I hope you find that as good news. I hope you found maybe a little inspiration in what we've been talking about today. I hope maybe you'll take some time and think about the idea of becoming a constitutional Minuteman or Minutewoman. Your willingness to help others says more about you than anything else. We will all fight to stop the pain in our hearts. It takes someone special to fight to stop the pain in someone else's. We're all willing to defend our own. It takes someone special to willingly sacrifice to defend someone else. As the signers of the Declaration of Independence said to their that call of independence, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. I guess I'm asking you to pledge a little bit of that to your fellow American today. A little bit of your life, a little bit of fortune, and a little bit of your sacred honor. Now, America Out Loud Talk Radio plays in the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have best-in-class apps available, Apple, Android, and Alexa, available 24/7, both for the live stream and now the podcast as well. So enjoy, and I'll see you next time on the Constitution Study.
Stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends every day.